Welcome, everybody. I am Mark Edward Davis. This is a very exciting night to share with you the tips that I want to give to you for multiplying your chances for success and finding love overseas. And tonight is just going to be absolute, complete honesty, and it's going to be self-evaluation. It's going to be measuring your assets. It's going to be using the tools you got, and it's going to be realizing what your strengths are and how to take everything together to come prepared to win. And I was motivated tonight by a couple of comments, some emails I got, and it's a reflection on questions that have been asked continually for 4 years. So I know when I get the same questions asked over and over again, and I haven't talked on it yet, you know, that I need to do it. In fact, you guys think it's funny. I mean, you think for 4 years, you know, 52 weeks of the year, we do all these presentations. It's like, Mark, is there something you haven't talked about? Yes, there are still topics I have not talked about, and this is one of them. And it's a great one. It's an anchor because it's going to be honest for you. It's going to help you come feeling comfortable and prepared with really knowing that, you know what, I'm here. I got my best game, and I'm really looking forward to this. I checked the seven off, and then I'm going to tell you in a little bit the seven keys, and we're going to go through it. So let me kick it off tonight with an overview. And the first one is we're going to talk about the challenges and both dating here and why we go overseas and what the challenges there are. I mean, it's a matter of us navigating to win, right? So we have to talk about what the obstacles are. We're going to talk about the wrong question. And again, this is kind of what motivated me today because somebody asked me the wrong question. I've heard that wrong question one time too many, but I haven't adequately answered it. And so tonight we're going to do that. So set you free. Set you free. This question is an emotional anchor. Guys do not understand how bad this is in terms of their own psyche and their confidence to be able to go. Then I'm going to talk about what is the right question. And we get into that. We'll talk about then what is the measure of success. We'll cover really a key paradox that I hope you'll understand when we're done. And then I'm going to go over my seven key factors for succeeding in finding love overseas, which is why you guys are here. Let me talk about the challenges. First of all, the big thing, start off right off the bat just saying you guys have a dream. And this is what I want you to hold on to, and I want you to embrace it deeply because, you know, you look at the painting here of my wife over my shoulder I had done when we were in Odessa for a day. Really, the day before I got on a plane to bring her to America, we had an extra day there and one of these chalk artists there. You've seen the way we are. I've had lots of people interacting with us. And the cute downtimes. Not all of you guys get to see us on a tour or come over and visit us here where we live in Las Vegas. And people who do just go, man, you guys just ought to have a camera following you around. It's just so stinking cute. And this is what guys want. They want somebody beautiful, attentive, nurturing, caring, who's always thinking about you as much as you are about them. And this just the nature of her pride in you, pride to be associated with you, the femininity, the absolute beautiful, to know that you have the most beautiful woman in the room everywhere you walk in, and yet everybody wants even more than her beauty, they want what the two of you have together. Do not settle for less than this. You guys have that dream in your heart. I know you do. You've seen it. You've tasted it. You've seen the couples model it, and we've just had, like I said, I got one more guy today who says he'll do another quest story. We haven't even gone back. We have so many couples now. And now that we just added to our staff, I'll be able to have a chance to do more of those interviews. But it's real. And it's not just me. It's real. And it's happening. And it can happen for you if you believe it's there for you in your heart. Do not settle. So the problem is, the challenge is this. You know, at first, when you feel that you want this kind of person in your life, you go with the normal things that people do. They first, you know, if they don't bump into them at the grocery store, at the bar, or somebody doesn't refer to them, you know, they're going online and you're going to match.com, you're going to eharmony.com. Or if you do have an inkling because you met a really cool internationally married couple like us or somebody in your neighborhood, or you just heard about this, you have curiosity, what do? You go to the international dating sites. And I'll just say this, and you guys, I know I'm going to get an amen on this. The common thread to all of these is they nickel and dime you to death and only give mediocre results. And it's about the quality of the people that are on there. You have this standard of what you want, and yet the really gorgeous women, you know, are getting hit on so much. You know, it's like you really want to delve into that crowd. The online world is difficult. And in fact, if you've gotten on our email list, and I'll be teasing more of these, we have so many great videos that we do in this 10-day video series And you guys can go through them as fast as you want. You don't have to wait 10 days. They're all there in what we call Find Your Ultimate Match overseas. It's the Ultimate Match video series. And you get that by joining our email list, and I send you links to it. And I'm sure you're all there. But one of those is a fantastic study Brandon Beck did that came up from some studies on your odds of success in the online dating world. And it's brutal. I mean, you know, it's all how people will measure you up before they'll choose to answer you, you know. And it's like based on, you know, if you're not, you know, 5'11" or taller, then you better have to make so much more money to balance out the attractiveness. And it's really discouraging because it's so artificial and so painful in that way. Then you get to the international sites where, hey, write to a cute Russian girl, right? You guys all see these kind of things, or the scams. And I'm hearing a lot more of these lately, which is very heartbreaking to me. But guys sincerely believe when this woman says, just send me $3,000 and I can finish my visa work and I'll be on a plane to meet you. They can't. They have to be sponsored to get here. You know, and yet the guy's ready to send his money and go meet her at the airport. And it's very disappointing to me. And of course, the nature of the international sites, they know that 97% of the guys never get on a plane to travel to go meet these girls. So there's nobody to hold them accountable. And you guys know the stories from that. If you don't, on my website, go to the top right section. You'll see where it says Scam Cure. And, of course, the cure is education. And I've done some really great studies, and I've got more coming out on that we have all the smoking guns and show you how this really thing works. I want you to be educated. But it's frustrating. So you're going like, okay, I have this dream, and this stuff isn't working. So what's next? Well, let's talk about what it costs in this whole thing. Now you're still haven't gone overseas. You're still dating. You're trying to figure it out. You're going back and forth. So matchmaking and coaches, if you really want to get the job done, there are matchmaking coaches that can charge you $25,000 to $75,000 or more. I've seen some of these. In fact, I'm now a member of the International Dating Coaches Association. I got my certification, so I'll have my badge up shortly. But most of the guys in this association charge, you know, the lowest I heard was $15,000, and they go on up, but they give results. And so what they're going to do is they're going to make sure you're not spending all the time, you know, on these sites trying to find the right qualified people. They're going to make sure you get connected. And I had an email from a guy earlier tonight. He says a friend of his did that, a woman who was doing the match and nickel and diming, and that was his phrase I picked up from that. But she went and paid $25,000, found her man, and she says, I would pay it all over again, because the difference it makes in your life to actually have that person, what wouldn't you pay, right? You pay that much for a car, you know, that's here and gone. And so really the value of it, if you really knew it could deliver it, you know, what it means for the rest of your life, it really is not bad. But the question is, you know, can it deliver it and all those kind of things. Our price, even the price we charge in a tour, may feel like a challenge to you, you know, and that cost. And so, you know, I understand that. But the cost for marrying the wrong person is just far greater. And you guys know that story. You know, we've done surveys many times over the years, and 60% of our guys have never been married before. So we have a very strong single clientele of guys who've never been married before. But 40% of you have had at least one. I had two marriages before I married my wife, and both the cost financial, the aggravation, the pain, and the negotiating and the belittling it feels of your soul is very costly. So this is something we really want to consider. And honestly, the process isn't always fun. So I want to get back to this wrong question. And what spawned this today was this question. They said, what are my chances for success on a quest tour? And that seems like a normal question. But where people are coming from is from a wrong basis. Let me explain why. The question presumes you've really got nothing to do with it. You know, it comes from a place of presuming. The question positions this to be just like a lottery, where the probability tables are going to determine your life. And I want to stop there for a minute, because I want to set you free. And I'm going to reread these three things in a row, because this has got to be cured. And it evidently seems to be an anchor in so many people's thinking. You know, people ask, what's my chances for success on a quest tour? What they're looking at presumes that they have nothing to do with it. It's just odds. It's a probability table. It's a lottery. It's like 8 out of 10. So I hope I'm one of the 10. Well, how, you know, I might just be one of the 2. As if you have nothing to do with it. As if you have nothing to do with it. This is human interaction here. You have everything to do with it. So I'm going to camp there for a second. Yeah, think about this. What are my odds? Well, Mark, what are your odds? How many people have you had in the past? You know, really, you determine this more than you think. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. You determine your own success, period. You do. You determine your own success. The right question would be, how can I make the most of my time, efforts, and resources in the pursuit of the best for my life? You know, how can I get the most, it's the biggest ROI, right? How can I get the biggest return on investment for what I'm trying to accomplish with my time, my efforts, my resources? And so now let's take a look at what that means in the dating world. The time. How long would it take you, where you live in your city, to meet and date enough women who are, one, they're single. You know, you run people in the store, find out they're married. Okay. Then you find out not only are they single, but they're actually looking. They'd really love to find a good man. Not all single women are. Some of them, I'm in my career mode right now. You guys know what I'm talking about. That have good values, you know, because some of the times the ones that are really attractive is just because they are just out to play and party. They're loose. They're just taking anything that comes along and they'll take you and the next guy, you know. And so it's like, and you want somebody that, you know, like you say, you want to take home to mom. But more than that, it's somebody who's really to blend into you, wants to become a united entity with you, who has that value to say, I'm going to pour my life into you as much as you pour yours into me. That they're also physically attractive. We know that 65% of the population in all the Western nations, from all the where you guys are coming from New Zealand to the UK to Canada, wherever, Republic of Texas, you know, there's a very high obesity factor. And women, when they are in good physical shape and they dress well, are attractive. We like females. I mean, that's the nature of the way God created us. And so you want to find somebody who's visually attractive. You want somebody you have chemistry with, that it's just fun. You just can't wait to be together. It's playful. It's no games. It's fun. You want to have similar lifestyle interests. You know, if you're a cyclist, you want somebody who can't wait to get on the cycle and spend Saturday morning with all those hundreds of people going down the street. You know, whatever you're into. You know, if you're both biochemists or whatever, you know, or yeah, if she just simply wants to support yours and just loves everything you do, you know, it becomes a mutual interest. And you share common goals in life. You know, do you want kids? Do you not want kids? You want to have, you know, you like the life in the farm. You like the life in the city. You want to someday move overseas. You like where you are, you know. The answer is, for you to meet one candidate like that in your hometown, maybe every once every 6 months, right? Am I right? This just out of observation, all the counseling and coaching I've done, maybe once out of 6 months you'll find one that meets those all those criteria, and I'm going to go back so you can look at them again. Single, they're actually looking for a man. They have good values, physically attractive. You guys have chemistry, similar lifestyle interests, share common goals. And if you run into those once every 6 months in your hometown, you know, you're really very fortunate. And out of those, not even all those work out. And so the effort that goes into this, how hard is it to do the looking? You know, but let me finish my previous thought. This on the previous talk was on time. How much time would this take? So let's assume you had one every 6 months. Not all those end up. You know, it could take you a couple of years, typically. And hey, we don't mind. I mean, if it's somebody's going to rock my world the rest of my life, I'll spend two, three years waiting for the right person, meeting them, going through all this process. But it's going to take that long to meet them. And then out of that, you've only really spent time with maybe five or six candidates at best. Probably you dated two or three for several months and you want to see where it worked out. Things don't always work out, or you end up doing a lot of compromising. That's just the dating world we live in, guys. I'm not trying to be harsh, and I'm not, you know, we're going to talk a lot of reality tonight, and a lot of it's not pretty, but we need to be honest and deal with it. So this is the truth. It can take you two or three years to even have four or five good candidates that you spend time with, you get into a relationship with, and not all those work out. How about the effort? It's going to, you know, how hard is it then to do the looking to find this person? And, you know, obviously it's going to take time around your work schedule, enduring those who are not worthy. Let's face it, when you come and watch those who have attitude, who want to play games, who says you didn't play the game right, that is effort. Just to deal with that, it's effort. The mental effort of thinking about compromising. All right, let's see, you know, it's been 2 years. Do I really, you know, to make this one work, I'd probably have to not like this and go with that, and I'd probably have to give this up. Do I really want to do that? The fact that you're thinking about compromising your dream is just exhausting. And then, of course, just feeling the lack of abundance. You get to that place, you're going like, you know what, there probably isn't going to be a lot more here. It took me 2 years to get this one. We're this far down the line. And you do it out of compromise because you feel like, I'm really not going to have any more choices. I better just take this one while I got it. And that's a feeling of being trapped that's just horrible. Resources, how much of your own resources you can have to put in. What does it cost to take women on dates? Paying for the dating sites you want to sign up with. Keeping up your own game, which I'm all for, your style, your dating advice, coaching, personal development programs you sign up with. You know, how much does it cost on these? You spend a couple $1,000s a year? Probably, you know. I probably spent $500 already this year just on personal development courses. Actually, probably closer to 1,000, you know, because I'm very much into that. And style, you know, you buy your clothes. And I haven't, you know, obviously I take my wife out, so I'm counting that. I probably spent a couple hundred, $2,000-$3,000 already on these, and I'm married. So you're spending $3,000 a year, you know, investing in this process of trying to find that one that's going to light your world on fire. And it is worth it, guys. I want to tell you that. If you remember, and I'll try to post the clip from Robert Kiyosaki where he said in an interview, he goes, you know, the single greatest influencing factor on your success in life, in business, is going to be the person you pick as your spouse. Because if they're not on board with where you're wanting to go, you're not going to make it. He literally says that. And the other side, you find somebody who's behind you, who makes you just feel alive every day, like you're Superman, who just adores you. You want to go storm the castle for her, and it multiplies your effectiveness. So this choice is important. And so you spend $3,000 a year trying to date and find the right one. So what's the cost per candidate? You know, $1,500, you know, two per year. You know, I'll go for that. I'm probably, as a dating coach, I'd probably safely say it's going to cost you out of pocket, not including your time or your emotional effort, $1,500 per candidate to find one who you would qualify, somebody you'd like to pursue as a girlfriend, whether you do or not. $1,500 a candidate. So if, you know, you're going to spend a lot of time. It's a lot of effort. It's going to be a lot of money. And often it's just going to be a lot of heartache. So, and they don't come with a cute accent in the envy of all your friends. I mean, come on. It's so cute when you have a foreign girlfriend and she's adorable and physically attractive and has this accent. It rocks, guys. I still am not tired of walking into a place and everybody's going like, God, your wife is so adorable. I know. And so do all the other guys who are married. They love it. All right, so then how do we measure success? And here's where we get down to it. Let's talk about the Quest tours, because that's the question of the day. It's like, what are my chances of success on a Quest tour? Well, I'm going to define success for a second a little differently, because just having talked about what your dating world is like, okay, if we were to help you meet women who are physically attractive, who have good values, who are in the right place in life looking for a man, that they're hoping to meet someone, and they are specifically very interested in you, how much is that, to me, has got to be a success. For every one of those that comes along that you personally, you find physically attractive, you have some sense of chemistry with her, she's in the right place in the right time, she's hoping to meet somebody, and she has given a phone number to say, I'm going to go out with you, we've already agreed that's at least worth $1,500 a pop, okay? So you find one of those, you're on a good track. So you say, all right, Mark, well, based on that and the cost of your tour, I'd probably have to meet at least four of those. I know you engineers are out there. I totally get it. So success then. Men on our tours receive between 20 and 35 phone numbers each. We've had, as I think our record was 61. But typically the lowest I had, I think it was honestly 22. So I'm fudging a little bit. So 20 to 35 phone numbers of ladies who says, I would like to go out with this guy. Now, some of those you're not attracted to, because you're going to be attracted to about 15% of the room, maybe 20, that are just going to be like, this is the zone I'm really looking for. I'm very attracted. So, you know, out of the 80 women you meet, you're going to find that 15% that just like, this is what I came here for. And so out of this group that you get phone numbers from, where you have mutual interest and attraction, on average, guys get 12 to 15. Okay, so right there, even if you had half of that, if you only had six, okay, six times 15, you've already made your money. Okay, it's already a good investment. And you're going to date from women in that group. And so if you date 8, 10 ladies, whatever the case may be, and you find yours right off the bat, it's worth a lifetime. So, you know, especially in contrast to what we're delivering, you know, equates more to what real matchmakers do. I continually, and it surprises me in some regards, but the guys who really understand the value of what I'm describing to you, they'll tell me, Mark, you're too cheap. You have no idea how inexpensive this is. Your costs are too low. So don't be scared. I'm not raising my prices today, but I'm just saying if you completely understand the world you live in and your goal, what you're trying to achieve, this is freaking cheap. It is nothing. And your chance, to me, success is if you have at least 6 women out there that have interest in you, you have interest in them, they agreed to dates with you. You've already exceeded the cost you had here based on what it would just cost you at home. And the time goes from 2 to 3 years down to 9 days. We just saved you 3 years of your life and beat your financial odds. The return on investment for what we do is phenomenal. The results, like I said, it would take you years to meet that many candidates. It would cost you thousands of dollars to do it. You just saved time, money, effort, and you loved every minute of it. Unlike dating in your country, you're actually going to enjoy this. I'm just trying to make a point because I'm going to come full circle here to some other stuff that's just some really good, harsh reality, and we're gonna do this. We're going to get some work done tonight, guys. Your results is, I just said that. It would take you years to meet that many, cost you thousands, and you loved every minute of it. So success, to me, the moment you're on your first date with a real genuine candidate, you succeeded. You have beat the odds of every other guy back home. The moment you're on your first date with somebody you really were attracted to, who is attracted to you, who is adorable, you know, the good looking, obviously good values, you know, the chemistry's there, all this kind of stuff. You're already a success. You've already beat out all the guys back home who didn't go, you know. So to me, the fact you show up and have one amazing, awesome date with a genuine, sincere woman, you succeeded. And that's why I get emails from guys saying, Mark, you ought to tell them you have a 100% success rate. Because if guys understand what they're looking for back home, they're going to find there. Whether or not they end up deciding to go boyfriend, girlfriend, or somebody or not, they succeeded. They got what they paid for, an amazing, sincere, legitimate, honest opportunity, and they had dates with these kind of people that are exactly what they're looking for. They succeeded. So let's get that clear. Period. Now, our statistics are that it is true. 80% of our clients do find somebody out of the ones they date. They get down. By the end of the week, they've got somebody they're following up with when they go home. You know, that's their goal. I want to get this down to I've got some. Sometimes they're two and they're trying to debate between two. But 80% of our clients get to the end of the week and they're definitely following up with somebody when they get home. In fact, I just did the interview with Mike McIntyre. He's now the featured video on the center of the website. You ought to hear his testimonial and his girl. And in fact, we got 6 now testimonials coming out of the last tour. I'm getting better at trying to capture these because it's not like we haven't had them in the past. I just haven't had time. Now I have staff. John Henry Gribb, I love you. He's come on board full time and he is lifting so much off my shoulders. We'll be able to get more good stuff to you guys. And that's what it's all about. In his interview, you know, I asked him, I don't want to tell the guys it's 80%. What do you think? How many of you guys? And he goes, dude, I think all of them did. I can't think of anybody who didn't. So, you know, it's not just me. And out of those, obviously, not all of those end in marriage, nor should they. And that's fine. You only met 9 days ago. But we obviously have a higher percentage of marriage success than anybody. But that's still not the question. Because too many men are assuming that their success is based on statistical probability. And I want you to please understand this, guys. Listen to me carefully. I just want you to pause for a minute. Don't drink. Don't write anything down. Look me in the eye because I have something I need to tell you this story. In March, my mother-in-law, Lilia, Anna's mom, decided she wanted to do a photo arrangement of the couples we've had, the married couples. And so she picked 10 of them and she started putting them up on the wall. So she arranged them and she had them in this area so we could look at and see if we wanted to go ahead and do more. And it actually created a psychological depression among several of the men who walked in there and said, wow, these guys have had like 200 clients and they've only got 10 marriages. Not only was the statistic wrong, we've had more than 10, But the fact that what it did to their emotional psyche, it drained their own personal ambition because they believed that it's, like it says, like a lottery, that their chances were that bad. So I have to tell you, this is important to your psyche, because if you're mentally assuming that it's a lottery, that it's just statistics, that you throw yourself in the hopper and you hope you're the one that gets hit by the dart when 8 out of 10 get picked, you're doing yourself a disservice, and it's false. It's a lie. It is not true, and let me explain why. My statistics are, when I went on my tour before our company was formed, another tour company, I went there. There are 25 guys on that tour. I was the only man out of 25 who met his wife. Now, several went back multiple repeated times, and I know of three others that found their wife later, but they went back multiple more trips with that system. I was the only guy out of 25 that on that trip, he met his wife on that trip. I met my wife on it. It was 8 years ago. Does that mean that my chances were 1 in 25? You'd pack up and go home. But it's not. Absolutely, that is not the case. And because I understood this system of the 7 key factors I'm going to tell you tonight, I maxed them. I did the best I could in every category. My chances are probably like 90%. You know, unless every woman I was presented in that system was a scammer or illegitimate, my chances, actually, if the whole room was completely sincere ladies, would have been 100%, because I was there at the right place at the right time. I had all the factors working for me, and I was prepared. So you realize, out of the other group, though, the other 24, what are their percentages? How many out of the set factors of 7 did they have working for them? Their chances, first of all, half of them in this other company weren't really sincere. They were just there for a vacation and to play around. But of the guys who were sincere, I'd say their chances were less than 30% the day they landed. They did not understand what it takes to win. So to me, my chances are absolutely have nothing to do with the statistics of the company. My chances had nothing to do with the statistics of the other men on the tour. My chances are in my control. Do you guys get that? Can you please understand that? You know, we're all control freaks to some extent, and we're all trying to make the best decisions with all the resources we have, but there are 7 things you can do your best with, and I'm going to talk about them. Here's the paradox, though. Here's the paradox. In the last trip, Mike McIntyre, you'll see the interview, one of the 6 guys who did a quest story from the last tour, and he says, you know, Mark, I went over there and this guy really is truly a great soul. He's a hard worker. He's a self-employed. He's a technician. He's an IT guy. He has a little IT business services. And, of course, growing, Mike. We're going to make it a huge business. He's in our Quest Mastermind group. I love you, brother. He had just come off of losing, I think, almost 60 pounds. So he realized, you know, he put his Quest tour 6 months out, and he said, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to do what I can to be in my best shape. And so, but he said, you know what, though? I says, when I got on the plane, I already had the attitude that, you know what, I see myself in this chair coming home, not having found anyone, but you know what, I am going to have the greatest time of my life. I'm going to have an amazing experience. I'm going to hang out with the guys I've gotten to know, you know. And I just really fully expect to come home, not having found the one, but truly, I just want to experience this Quest tour thing. It looks awesome. So here's the paradox, and let me explain it from my story, the same thing about this paradox. When I first landed on my tour with the other company, I was over ready. I mean, I'd gone overseas 5 times before to Latin America, but you know, when I didn't even know there was a system or international dating, I was just doing this on my own with buddies and trying to meet people. And then I learned and got more educated and studied and evaluated all this stuff. So by the time I got to Ukraine, I knew it was where my heart was at. I'd had enough experience, and I was there to bag me a wife. I was a man on a mission. I was going to go out and get me one. And in fact, I'd been writing to somebody, and so I was going to meet that person there, and I thought, this is going to be the one. And of course, you guys know my story from my book. I met her, and she really hadn't even heard about me. I'd been writing to a translator the whole time. And here I'd already planned on how many kids we were going to have, and I was emotionally deeply connected with this woman who never heard of me. And so it devastated me. And so I came over here to go get me my wife, and I was going to you know, conquer this deal. And I was devastated. It took me 2.5 hours to recover. I mean, it really, I mean, it, I, my life was set. It was going to be this woman, Christina, and you know, it didn't turn out that way. And also at the end, I said, I can't just leave here without any dates. I'm going to go meet somebody. So I got up and walked the room, and that's where I met my wife. But at the time I did, I just tossed my agendas out. I go, look, I just don't want to be goose-egged. I don't want to sit here for 2 days with no dates. I said, I don't even care who I meet. I'm just going to find somebody to go distract myself, just somebody to walk the cities. I didn't care what age she was. I didn't care, you know, whatever. Just find somebody to spend some time with tonight, take my mind off it, and go see the city. So with that in mind, I just came up to this table with these two girls there, and I hadn't seen them that evening. And I said, hi, I'm Mark. And this one says, hi, I'm Anna. This one says, hi, I'm Anna. I go, you're both Anna? That's great. I've had a hard day. This can make my night a lot easier. This will be a lot of fun. You know, they both laughed. And I said, look, you know, this thing's almost over. Can I just take you out? Can we go out tonight? Just have some fun. I mean, just, I'll take you to dinner. We'll just have a good time. Show me your city. You know, let's just relax. I'm really, just really looking forward to it. And so the paradox I learned is that hunting for a wife, being in a wife hunting mode, like a Borat with a bag, you're going to bag him and grab him and run away with him, you know, it's not attractive, and they feel the intensity of that energy. It's not conducive for finding one. But when you relax and just say, I'm going to go in and have a great experience and receive it, it actually becomes more attractive, and your odds actually increase. You know, so the harder you're trying to push in a human condition where somebody else is involved, nobody wants to be manipulated. Nobody wants to feel coerced. Nobody wants to feel bullied into a corner. Nobody wants to feel like you're there to win them and bag them. You know, that's not attractive. That's not courting. That's not compelling to a woman. A woman wants to feel pursued in a very romantic way, in a way that you just want to get to know her. You know, just to start there. And so a lot of the times the guys come on a tour and their perspective is, I'm going to go bag me a wife. And so the intensity, the reason I bring this up, because the intensity of this question about what are my chances of success on a Quest tour statistically is I'm going to go, if it's high enough, I'm going to go get me one because I want to go get me one. And it's an emotional energy that ends up not helping you actually get what you want. The very thing you want, you have to relax and just trust that human being will connect when you're in the room. You know, like our slogan says here, you know, it's face-to-face introductions because you can't download a wife. And below, you can't see it down there, but it says magic happens when you show up. And so if you will believe that the opportunity is going to be there, that they're going to be the right place in life, there's going to be someone who really likes you, who connects with you, that you're going to like also, you know, then just let it go. Come there with an open slate to receive and just connect with human beings in a way that's fresh and alive. And this is one of the things I tell guys who want to do this letter writing. I go, the problem with the letter writing is you guys sit at home and you're fantasizing for hours on this. You're poring over the profiles. You're poring over the words they say. And especially if you're writing to them, you're devouring every word of these letters. She's not. Now, so the guy gets over there, and he's like fixated, almost like an obsession with this woman he's been writing to. And he gets there, and he's all intense about meeting her, and he's imagining what this energy is going to be like. And she's like, dude, you're a little freaky right now. I just really met you. I mean, yeah, we wrote some letters, but this is the first time I've met you in person, and you're coming off a little heavy. And then he comes locking, comes back going like, oh, the chemistry just wasn't there. Well, look, if she had been poring over your photo and your letters as many hours as you were hers, then maybe you'd both get there and it'd be explosive fireworks, right? But they're not. So you're cheating yourself. But if you'll have faith to get there and you both meet and you both have this attraction, you hit, and now you have this mutual excitement. She gave a phone number because she likes you. She wants to go out with you. And you called her and asked her out for a date. And this woman is stunning. And you're like, oh my gosh, I got a date with this one and this one and this one. And they're going like, he asked me out. I gave a phone number and he actually asked me out. Your first date, you've both been thinking about each other as much, and they're awesome dates. This is one of the reasons we have such a high success rate. So in the nature of asking the question, what are my chances of success on a Quest tour? In a sense, there's often this emotional energy behind it that's all about, I'm here to bag me a wife, and I've got to, like, I'm only going to do it if it's going to be the one to bag me a wife, and I want you to guarantee me that, you know, and it's like, that's not the way human beings work. So I just say that because it's often behind the question. So here it is. My seven factors that do actually contribute to your success. And this is brutal honesty, guys. So we're gonna pony up tonight and get this job done because I want you to win. And you're gonna have to be honest with yourself. You're gonna have to deal with some of this stuff and get your game together because you need to feel like, you know what, my chances are high because I am honest with myself. I know what I'm bringing to the table. I'm prepared. Okay. So with that, you're going like, oh my gosh, what's he gonna talk about? Here it comes. Here's the seven things. First of all, and again, I think we're already here because you're with the Dream Connections call tonight, but obviously picking the best system with the highest success rate is one of the key factors. And obviously I went on one before that did not have a high success rate, and that can influence you because you can come fully prepared, you know, and have your thing, your stuff together, but if two-thirds of the woman in the crowd, you know, are there, they're either, you know, prostitutes or they're scammers or opportunistic girls, and only a third of them are sincere, it diminishes your chance of success. It doesn't have as much to do with you, but it is a factor. And so choosing a success system is great. So the next thing is personal training, development, and preparation. And I'll go over this in a moment. But obviously, you know, that's something we do to help you be prepared before you go. Now, once you're there, here are five personal characteristics about you that are going to influence your success. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. These do. But we're going to look at focusing on your strengths and really amplifying those. They can overcome other things. So this is honest. Here we go. You ready? First one is going to be your personality. And these adjectives here of being comfortable, confident, and fun can go with any personality. An artistic, an analytical engineer, an expressive, you know, sales guy kind of personality, like, you know, and then or a driver, you know, your A-type personalities. Those adjectives are common. In your personality, are you comfortable, confident, and fun to be around? You know, how you rate on that is a factor toward your success. I'm not going to kid you. It is. Your physical attractiveness, it's a factor. And I've had guys, in fact, it was funny, one of the guys I love, and Wes, if you're in the audience, I'm going to tell your story, but we had a guy there who lost part of an arm, and it's hard for me to take those. I mean, him was an exception of the case, but I did, and he was a little bit overweight, but his heart was gold, and he poured himself out there, and he had so many of these other characteristics to offer that he actually did find somebody. Didn't end up in marriage, but wow, they just certainly had some great times together. But your physical attractiveness is a factor. In Wes's case, he wore a cowboy hat all the time. I said, you're not going to wear a cowboy hat over there. Why? Because they don't. That's not going to be physically attractive. It's not just attractiveness to, it's not just physical attractiveness to you. It's what's physically attractive to them. Are they not the ones we're trying to get the attention of? So for them, you know, that's why we really look at facial hair. The guys over there don't wear facial hair. So any facial hair is going to seem a little strange, and they may have to overcome it to get to know you. Paul on the last tour, I love him, guy, dearly. He's got a profile photo of him when he had a scruffy beard, and he's Hispanic, and it's funny. He almost looked like a poster profile of a profiled, you know, terrorist guy because he had this thing like this and these beady eyes, and he intentionally had this kind of a scary photo. And, of course, he goes on the tour, and he shaves it off, and the guy is so handsome. He's just smooth. And so we had the other story, Chris Hayes. You know, he had this handlebar mustache like this, and he agreed to shave, and he won his girl. Other guys, if they have, like Dave had this just very meticulously trimmed goatee and hairline, and it was very handsome and attractive. You know, so, I mean, we'll talk to you about what is attractive to them, and if we can make a recommendation, hopefully you'll take it under the right, you know, understanding. But your physical attractiveness is part of the factor. You know, if you come over there and your dress is sloppy, these are part of my training things. You know, what's going to be attractive to them? We're gonna get you looking as good as possible. Your age is a factor. I'm not going to hide this, guys. It is absolutely a factor. But it's not the same factor you think it is. You know, a guy's going like, oh, I'm mid-50s. It's too late for me. I'm out of the game. That's not the case. That's not the case. But there's other things that go into that. And so I'm going to talk about that in a minute. The other thing is your lifestyle. And so the seventh and final item is income. And I'm going to talk about how that, because it's a factor. It's a factor, but, you know, we need to deal with it. So I don't want to discourage anybody to say, you know, I don't have big incomes, my chance. Dude, okay, Law Jackson lived in a one-bedroom White Stark apartment. He made a meager income for a guy living in Los Angeles. He couldn't go back to visit his girl. He brought her home when her visa was done. They've been married 3 years, have two babies. They're all happy. You know, his. So to me, it's like it's not about the income, but you have to understand the whole package. So let's talk about it. First of all, the best system. Obviously, the Quest Tour by Dream Connections includes a personal assistant. Why does this help you increase your chances of success? Because it does. She's going to help you read the girl so you're making good decisions. She's going to help you understand how to culturally do the right next thing about giving a gift or these kind of things. It's critical to your success. It's a big part of your success. She's your friend. She's going to keep you in a good mood and all the rest of that. The ladies are screened. This is a huge part of your success. Like I said, if you went into another company where they didn't screen the women, 2/3 of the women could be there just for the food. You don't know. And then how does that affect your success? You could be wasting 2/3 of your time. You're not going to know. Next thing is coaching. You know, right there on the spot, you go, hey, Mark, I think I'm getting there. What do you think of this one? And we've done, all kinds of stuff. Then we could look at your dating reports and talk to you, maybe even double date with you and your girl and get some good, give you good information for helping to close a deal or not. Plus, then as a company, we provide support after you find her. And I don't know anybody else on the planet that does this. We're the only ones. We're trying to increase what we do to create more community. We'll have girls, we'll be friends with your, other girlfriends, be friends with your girl, help her adjust, and help you at the right critical moment when that time comes and you could almost screw it up. Before you do, you ask your translator, should I do this? Am I reading this wrong? What's going on here? Or call us and we help. And everybody goes through something. And without this, half the marriage we had wouldn't have made it. And the high success rate, period. It goes through all the different stuff we've already talked about. Now, training. I have a required training course. Every guy goes with us, whether you're individual Quest Tour or whether you're going to go to Thailand, Colombia, or Ukraine, you got to go through my training course. And with that, you're going to come feeling prepared about how to win her heart, how to make a good first impression, how to dress, your style. You're going to learn about how to have a perfect date, how to work with your translator. All these different things are all included in that. How to know if they're into you, for yourself. Personal development, helping guys develop confidence, build their businesses up. These are things we do with the Quest Mastermind Group. And then you're going to have several preparation calls. So when you're actually, okay, I'm getting ready for my tour, you're going to have Skype calls. And they're going to be like, okay, who are the women you want to meet? Okay, have you done this? Have you done this? You got this together. Okay, what happens if this happens? Boom, you're going to go through the whole thing and come like, I'm ready to go. Let's do this. And how critical is that? It's huge to your success. Of course, it just multiplies your ability to win. And then, of course, evaluating your personality honestly, your personality. How would you do in these areas of feeling comfortable? And we do the best to make you feel comfortable in a whole new environment, make you feel like you're at home with people you're familiar with. Plus, the videos is like deja vu. You feel like you've already done this. Confidence. I do teaching on confidence. Fun to be around. And it doesn't mean just joking or, like telling jokes. But really just being lighthearted, being a fun person to be around. So pick from 1 to 10. How do you rate on this kind of personality thing? But can you improve on it before your tour? Of course you can. So this is why we do this now. I want to show you these 5 character traits that you can be thinking about now because, a lot of them you can improve on. Your physical attractiveness. How are you? How's your body weight? How tall are you? Your body conditioning, your muscle tone, these kind of things. Facial hair, no facial hair, your dress, your style, general good looks. Yeah, you can have a guy who's a movie star, rock star, and guess what? He's going to have better odds than just any Joe off the street. But you can do the best for who you are. So I'm just saying it is a factor. I'm not going to kid you. It's a factor. And so can you improve your health? Yeah. We just had Mike lose 60 pounds. We had another guy lose 30 over there. All these things we do to get, coaching and training, try to help you get in the best shape you can. We're going to give you fashion coaching, both in the teaching I do, and I literally hold up a pair of pants like this, a shirt like this, shoes like this, and go through the whole thing. And then plus we tell the guys, look, just plan on bringing in a little bit of and going shopping with your translator. Let her buy you some good East European stuff that's really cool over there. And so all of that is a factor, but there are things you can improve on to even increase your chances when you get there. So age is a factor. I'm not going to kid you. Age is a factor, but it's something you just adjust to. Younger can be more favorable But for which audience? You know, who are you trying to date? You can offer some strengths because of who you are. You're solid. You're established. There's a lot of attractiveness for a guy who's established. But again, if the most desirable age was 33, 35, whatever, and you're 55, well, how are you in the other areas? Are you fun to be around? You know, are your body in good shape? And then, of course, we'll talk about the other ones, lifestyle and these other kind of things. So, you know, you're not going to be 100% in every category. Young guys don't typically have lifestyle or the income. You see what I'm saying? So I get a young guy who comes on and he goes, I don't have the income. I can't do this. And I go, well, you know, if you can go, yeah, you can do this. You know, it's about winning her heart. And, you know, so you look at the whole package. And then, of course, dating, you know, in your age range. You know, if you're 55, your chance of finding somebody in their late 30s is actually really good, you know. And you would never find that back home where you are. Average age disparities is 10 to 15 years. So that's kind of the zone where you're going to find. But we don't put ages on the name badges. You know, you're going to go look for those who like you. And you're going to date those who give a phone number. You know, and if she gave a phone number, go. And I always encourage guys, look, date a little older than you thought you'd want to and a little younger than you thought you want to if they gave you a phone number. Get over that and get into it. But the guys will say, well, age is just a number. And by that, they mean I want a 22-year-old. You know, it's like, you know, they're looking for the trophy thing, the arm candy, and that's not my tour. You know, if you're willing to go over there and say, hey, I'm open to what comes, you know, and the ones who give me phone numbers, I'm going to give them a shot. I'll be fair, and I want to listen to my heart, see where I'm really interested. Now I'm going to listen to my translator. I'm going to listen to the coaching and go there just to receive the whole experience. And who knows, you know, the one who ends up I really fall with could be 5 years different or 15 years different. It, you know, I just want to find somebody that's magical we wake up to every day. So if you come with that kind of an open attitude, you've taken fairly good care of your body, and we can help you with good fashion, you know, all the rest that goes with that. You know, we've had guys 65 find their wife, and even on a group tour, we had one guy at 62. I do tend to want to talk to guys over 60 to make sure they're at least good physical shape if they want to go, because, you know, our average guy's going to be 38, so that age could be a factor when you come right after the 33-year-old guy and you're 63. So, and because I'm not just here to take your money, I want you to win, and I don't want you to get frustrated. So, but we've had guys go on group tours that have done very well. So it's a matter of on all these five characteristics, how do you fit? And evaluating your lifestyle. Lifestyle is huge because this is what she's asking. When a woman's dating you, she over there, overseas, they're asking three questions. They're going, you know, do I have chemistry with this guy? I mean, is there something fun about him that would just be a delight to spend time with? You know, second of all, what would life with him really be like? And so this is what the second question's about. And what part of the world do you live in? What's your climate? You know, are you in Alaska or are you in Hawaii? What's really cool about where you live? What's difficult about it? And be honest. Job opportunities for her, the things she could do if she came over. What do you do for a living? This could affect it. I've had guys come in from Canada who worked in the northern oil rigs, and they're gone for a week at a time, but they're home for a week at a time. Well, that's going to not work for some women, and it's going to work for others. So it's a factor, and you think about that. And if you sell it right and help understand, first of all, you got to love your life and say, I love what I do. And when I'm home, I am just home, and I'm looking forward to spending all that time with my queen. And I'll get you a puppy, and we'll make sure you have friends. But if you can hang out while I'm gone for that week and we come home, it's just us. You know, I had farmers who tell me, you know, farming's difficult, you know, because for 6 months of the year, we just work all the time. But we make tons of money, and for the other 6 months, we can live like kings and travel the world. That's not going to work for some. It's going to work for others. So this is your story. Do you get what I'm saying? You can't just come and say, what's my chance on a quest tour? What's your story? What do you bring to the table? If you're going to come prepared, a fun person, open-hearted, ready to enjoy, understand what your strengths and weaknesses are, love your life, and just show up, your chances are great. They're great. But it's an individual thing. My chances were great when I went. The other guys, not so. And it's not my fault. And it's not your fault. You know, my success was not contingent on that company's history. My success is not contingent on the other guys in the group. You know, and I want you to understand that. What are cool things you can offer your wife to do and see and be part of? Just what is part of her lifestyle? She's asking herself the question, what is my life going to be like on an ongoing basis to be married to this guy? And then your income. And I put this last for a reason, because it really is easy to overcome when she finds her half. And I mean in both directions. I have guys who come in here. We had one guy who had a net worth of $17 million, and he can't date anybody, because as soon as they find out he's got money, guess what those girls are doing? They don't care about him. They're not dating him anymore. They're dating his money. And it's this deep, hollow, aching feel that I cannot find anyone who will love me just for me. And I've had the other side, where the guy doesn't make a lot of money, and he's wondering, can anybody love me? I'm not rich. I don't bring all these other things to the table. And yet somebody who falls in love, she's going, babe, honey, money goes up, money goes down. We have each other. We'll make it work, you know, because they come from a place where, you know, they don't make a lot, and they love their life. So income can help overcome weaknesses if you have a lot of income. So, you know, and honestly, like I said, if you've struggled with your weight, or if you're Samoan, you know, it's at your natural thing. Think about it. Think about this. One thing I love about this. Think about a guy who's 55, who's a happy Samoan. He is a happy Samoan. He loves his life, doesn't make a lot of money, but he lives in Hawaii. Do you see what I'm saying? Income's down. His body weight is up. He's older. But the combination, just, he's going to find his half. Do you get what I'm saying? So you got to quit comparing yourself to other people. You just have to look at, well, who am I? What am I bringing? And love it. And if you're excited about who you are, what you bring to the table, and you've done the best with what you have, you know, your chances of winning are very good. And income can increase her sense of safety and security. You know, this guy will be able to provide for me. We're not going to, you know, end up homeless somewhere. You know, if something happens, we're okay. We're going to be covered. So those are an advantage. So a guy with money, that's a higher point for him. You know, hey, I've got this going for me. A guy who lives in you know, Hawaii, he's got extra this going for me. A guy in Minnesota, here. But I have a good brother in Minnesota. The guy owns a nightclub, you know, and he's got lots of friends, great energy, and her life would all be about meeting all these people and hanging out at this jazz club, you know. You know, so all of that's there. So, and honestly, going over there with the kind of, you know, the women we know, you're not going over there for somebody who's marrying you for your money. So it's just one of the factors that can contribute to her overall sense of what's my life like with this guy, and what you can bring to the table, and what you love about your lifestyle, and what you can offer. So yeah, so the question is, how are you going to rate yourself on the seven key factors? You know, do you have the best system? You know, are you going there? Do you have your personal training? Did you go through my videos? Are you working your personal development? How's your preparation? You know, did you go through your calls? And how you rate yourself on your own personality style, about being comfortable, confident, and fun. Your physical attractiveness, doing the best you can with what you're given. Your age, you know, understanding the benefits and disadvantages of all the different age ranges we have there. And truly loving yourself is really just half the battle. You know, age isn't something you control, so love who you are. And understand what it brings to the table at each age. Brings a different set of things that are very attractive to a lifestyle. What is your lifestyle and your income level? And, you know, how does that combination end up contributing to a lifestyle that she would want to be a part of? So anyway, guys, thanks for watching. And I hope that answers the question. When somebody asked me the question again, what are my chances of success? It has nothing to do with, you know, how many marriages we've had, who's on your tour, who else has done what in the past, what the company has done. It's you. You know, it's you. What are you doing to win? And so thanks for watching.